Good morning. This morning we'll be in Daniel, continuing our study in Daniel, and we'll be in Daniel chapter 5 in verse 17. Like I said, we'll be in Daniel chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 17. And we've already been talking about where we've talked about the king, and Nebuchadnezzar, we're talking about what they went through, especially Nebuchadnezzar, when he got, God made him where he, you might as well call it, got sunk down to the lowest thing, and he went eating grass. It showed where he was, the king, and he went from being real high to being, I'm going to call it, really low, eating grass. Of course, then we were talking about the different visions, and then we got talking about wine and the different things that there last week. But we got started into verse 17 of Daniel chapter 5. And there it says in verse 17, it says, Then Daniel answered and said before the king, that thy gifts be thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yea, I will read the writings unto the king, and make them known to him in their interpretation. They're still talking about the dream that the king had. And he wants, he wants answers. He wants to know what that dream meant. And Daniel's trying to, he's talking to Daniel about that. Of course, we see that's where Daniel answered. He was before the king. And then give thy rewards to another. Yeah, I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Then in verse 18 it says, O thou king, the most high, God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and a master and glory and honor. And for the merit he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him whom he would be sown, and whom he would be kept alive, and who he would set up, and who he would be put down. And when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was opposed from the kindness. Going throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild ass. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, that he appointed over it whoever he will. He's telling, how it says he was driven, from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. And of course, then it says his dwelling was like wild ass, and they fed him with grass like oxen. And of course, talks about his body, the dew. Overnight, if we notice in the morning times how the grass and everything like that's wet. And he's talking about that, how the dew was put on, everything. Of course, we know it says, until he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. He didn't know that the Most High God ruled. And appointeth over in Shahi will. And thou, his son, brother, has humbled thy heart through that knowest all this, that has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of this house before thee. And thou that the Lord's thy wives, and her comrades have drank wine in them, and has praised the gods of silver, gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which is not heard, not known, and the God in whose hands thy breath is, and those who are all the ways, has not glorified. And then it says, then in the part of the hand sent from him in his writing was written. You know, Daniel's trying to give him the, you know, what's going on. That's what we're kind of seeing a little bit right here. But also, too, we're seeing there in verse 23, it says, and has lifted up thy against the Lord of heaven. You know, it brought the vessels of the house before thee. You know, he's talking there, we see all the different things. You know, it talks about where they said they had drank wine in them. He's talking about the cubics. They're like, if you want to call it a glass.
Mark here in verse 18. It says, O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father and kingdom, and master over glory and honor. That's telling us there, Daryl was talking at Belzar. A lot of people believe that Nebuchadnezzar was his father. That tells us he was his father. Because Nebuchadnezzar, Belzar was king at that time.
Right.
They said, thy father. So that means that Nebuchadnezzar was the father of Belzar.
Yeah, Daryl mentioned that there last week. It's believed that Belzar was his father. And we kind of see in that verse there, we see, yeah, good, Dave.
There shouldn't be no question about it, really. Because it says it right there.
All right. Of course, then we read in 24, you know, it talks about all the different things. And then it says in 24, it says, then was the part of the hand sent from him in his writing. It says the writing was written. No, that means it was done. You know, and it was part of the hand that was sent from him. And then, of course, then we read in the last part, and it says, and this writing was written. I mean, it was done. Of course, in verse 25, it says, and this is the writing that was written. I'm not really sure exactly how to say all that. But I know it's, you know, I'm not sure exactly how to say that. You don't want to say it's like me, and I'm not even going to. But it says in verse 26, it says the interpretation of the meaning, it says, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You know, where it says interpretation of the thing, I also do have in parentheses right there, it says word. So there's talking about where it says me, you know, they were trying to tell, you know, had been numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And of course, then the next one, in verse 27, where it has the spelling of T-E-L-E-L, it says, thou art weighed in, the balance it, and art finding wanting. And then of course, in 28, it talks about the prayer, it says, thy kingdom is divided. And given to them in presence. You know, it's talking about it's divided up. It's talking about the kingdom. The kingdom was divided. It'd be about like having, I kind of thought about on that how it says divided. The best way I thought it was about like two teams playing. you know, like football or something like that, since we're in football season. You know, the kingdom was divided. One was on one side and the other was on the other. Of course, in verse 29, then it says, then commanded Bezar that they clothe Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck. It made it concerning him that he would be the third ruler in the kingdom. You know, Daniel, you know, they were showing honor to him. You know, put him in scarlet, gave him a chain of gold that he put around his neck. Of course, then, you know, then he was made the third ruler in the kingdom. So you think about, that's really a good achievement. That's an achievement, you know, of power. You know, he was only the third on the line from being, you know, from the king. Of course, in verse 30, it says, in that night was Bezar, the king of, of course, it talks about he was slain. And of course, it says, Darius took the kingdom, being about third score and 2 years old. You know, that's pretty, you know. And that made it where Daniel was then, at that time, when this verse is read, he'd be the next in command if something happened to the present king that was there now. Of course, we'll get into chapter 6. Yeah. And it says in there, chapter 6, it says verse 1, it pleased our to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which shall he be over the whole kingdom. It says after, and it says over these three presidents of those whom Daniel was first, and the princes may have accounts unto them, and the king shall have no damage. You know, there's like, talks about, like in mine, it says where it says give. And it says the princes might give accounts unto them. Of course, I have in mine has report. You know, they make reports. And they give accounts of all what's happening. Of course, then it says in the last part where it says no damage means no loss. You know, there was no loss that the king, it says the king shall have no loss. I'm going to say loss or damage. In verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because the excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And the king, and the presidents and princes sought to find occasional gets concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault, for as he was faithful, neither was there any error or found in him. And it says, and then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except he find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King, live forever. And it said, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains had consulted together to establish him royal stone and to make him a firm decree that they would ever ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days. And it says, save of thee, O king, we shall be cast into the den of the lions. And, of course, we see in verse 8, It says in there, it says, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not change, and more according to the law of the in which alter not." Therefore, this is wherefore king signed the writing in the decree. You know, it asked, you know, for the king to sign this. You know, it's like an agreement. You know, and they finally got the king to sign off on it in verse 9. And it says he signed the writing and the decree. You know, he signed off the, you know, petition or what do you want to call it. And of course then it says, and the decree, means it went into effect. You know.
Going back to verse 4, we got to understand that Daniel was probably like about 50 years in command overall. And that's like 50 years of being in high command and now governor and a new commander, which usually they clean house. So, I mean, he knows God's probably taking care of it. He's still in his position, because usually when a new command comes in, they usually slam everybody that was under the old regiment. But, he was found under fault, I mean, no fault. Like, as equally as he was faithful, he had no fault. He didn't take bribes. He, you know, he didn't do anything. So, you know, they obviously did have a struggle to find something, and they used his faith against him.
Yeah, you think about where the king did all what he did, and it wasn't just affecting him. There were several, and we see that through the verses that we read. You know, it talks about, like, where it has listed it out in the verse 7. It says, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, you know, they talk about where they all came together. And they, you know, and that's when they came together and they had, it says, confirmed decree. And it says, ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days. And, you know, talks about, you know, they all came together. And then, of course, then eventually the king signed off on it. Of course, in verse 10, then we read where Daniel, it says in there, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," and it says, "he went into his house, his windows being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem. He kneeled up on his knees there 3 times a day. And prayed and gave thanks before his God." And he did there for 4 times. You know, we read where Daniel did this. You know, he went to God, put it in his hands. You know, and he prayed to him. And we see that he does this, it says 3 times. You know, it says 3 times a day he did this. Don't know when, but we just know he did it 3 times that day.
Why would you think he would get in front of the window to do it? I think he did it so that people could see him, and he was not going to bow down to another god. Okay.
And he was using it as a, by so to say, a sample.
Yeah, you know, as a witness.
As a witness. And you think about, Daniel was probably getting well looked after. You know, you think about, here he is now, if you want to call it, second in command. He's right underneath the king.
Yeah, he was looking for some kind of fault, so he was keeping an eye on
him. Yeah, because they would be doing that to be able to, you know, find something on him. And Daniel was kind of, he knew that. You know, he knew that he wouldn't be, say, put out to where he wouldn't be watched. And that's why he, you know, I agree with Dave. He did it right there in the window. That way it was in the clear view of everyone. You know, that way he didn't have to worry about, do I have a witness of this? Yeah, he does. He had several people at that time seen him. Of course, in verse 11, it says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making intercession before his God. And they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Or so this is where we're starting to see what this decree that the king signed and what effects was going to be on Daniel. It says, how is it not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, saying of thee, O king, shall he cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which are not. You know, people are bringing that to the king's attention. That Daniel was breaking the law, breaking the rules of that decree that was signed. You know, and they're bringing it to his attention. You know, now it's talking about in that verse that they, he was going to be, you know, anybody or him was going to be casted into the den of lions. Of course, then the king didn't have no choice, but it says they answered and said, the thing is true. You know, and it says it was according to this law. You know, and they couldn't order it. In verse 13, it says, then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is the children of the captive of Judah, regarding that the oak king nor the decree, and I have signed that made this petition three times a day. You know, they was bringing it to the king's attention. This wasn't just a one-time deal, that he did it three times. He did it three times in a day. You know, they was bringing it to their attention that he broke the law, and he did it three times a day. And it wasn't just like a one-time occurrence. And it says in verse 14, it says, then the king, when he had heard these words, you know, it says, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored until he going down of the sun to deliver. You know. They was looking for Daniel. And we read that. You know, and it talks about, says the king, when he heard these words, you know, he was sore. It says he was sore. And he was displeased. Church, that was with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. You know, he had sights put on Daniel to deliver him. And it says labored until the going down of the sun to deliver. You know, we see, you know, in this right here, that the king wasn't going to stop until the sun went down. And, you know, he was trying. In verse 15, and these that men established unto the king, and said unto the king, know our king, that the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree, nor which king established, may be changed. You know, they couldn't change the law. You know, because the king had established it. course, in verse 16, we see in that verse there, it talks about, it says, "And the king commanded, and they brought forth Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke unto them, unto Daniel, thy king, thy God, who hath served his community, he will deliver thee." You know, king didn't have no choice. You know, he had to put the command out to go and take Daniel and put him into the den of lions. And of course we see that in verse 16 where, you know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter at the time that Daniel was, might as well call it the second, you know, there in the command. You know, the king didn't have no choice but to do what he had to do against Daniel. You know, as much as he, I'm sure that the king didn't want to have to do what he did. But he met it where Daniel didn't, you know, it wasn't no place. They couldn't change it. Couldn't change nothing and alter it. In verse 17, and it says, "And a stone was brought and laid up on the mouth of the den, and then, and the king sealed it with his own right sign, in the sign of the Lord's, that the purpose might be changed concerning Daniel." You know, it shows that things couldn't be changed. It didn't matter, it was Daniel. You know, it's like, you know, somebody, you know, I'm sure the king was very displeased, if you want to call it. You know, thinking, we got all this decree. I can't change nothing. Even if it meant what he had to do against Daniel. Because all the evidence was put up on him. And just like Dave said, you know, Daniel did it right in, you know, plain sight. To show he didn't have nothing to hide.
You know, how do we like to have the obedience of Abraham and the faith of Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would, you would be something, I'm telling you. You'd have the obedience of Abraham and the faith of Daniel, knowing that God will save you.
We're going to go ahead and we're going to stop right there and start with verse 18 next week. Of course, we're getting into the part where we're going to see this in this scripture here, kind of what happened. We're going to see what happens with Daniel. You know, like I said, the king, I'm sure, was probably very disappointed that he, you know, think of his own people, his own staff, if you want to call it. Here he is, he has to carry out the law against his own. You know, and we'll see that there where, like I said, Daniel was put into the, he was put in the lion's den. And we'll read that story there. But we'll get into that next week of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 18.